Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around. Call
1-800-FURNACE. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
That's all. Just a big sigh. Just a big breath. As we get into, I think it's day 11 now, of trying to figure out where in the world is Nancy Guthrie. A lot has happened in the last 24 hours as of this recording. We're going to get into a lot of that. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, is with us. We're going to kind of tackle this in some sections because it's best to kind of look at this in focused buckets rather than just pouring them all out over the table going, hey, because there's so many pieces to this to get through. Yes, they did had a person of interest just the other night that they were talking to. They have since released them. Turns out had absolutely nothing to do with this, but it wasn't before, a lot of attention was there. It looked like they had their hostage negotiation folks ready to go. They were hoping, and there's nothing wrong with hope, that maybe this is a place, maybe this is a person that possibly has Nancy Guthrie. They went in the house, they looked, they talked to the guy, and they came up empty-handed. That's after we saw 6 photos and 3 video clips from Nancy Guthrie's Nest camera. The first visual evidence in 10 days, a masked individual at her front door the morning she disappeared. He reached towards the camera, stopped, turned around, walks back to the yard, goes and grabs a big old handful of cilantro or whatever he was grabbing.
Like you
comes
do.
Up to the camera and covers it with the foliage. He came prepared to hide his identity. He was not prepared for what was 6 inches from the front door that, most would say probably going to be there at a higher-end home in a higher-end area of Tucson, a video doorbell. But that seemed to be a surprise to this individual. That gap between what he planned for and what he didn't is the most important detail in this footage. Robin Drake ran the FBI's Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program for a very long time, and you've written about various ways to identify different types of behavior in several of your books. I want to get into your observations on this, Robin, and what your takeaway was now that it's out there. The footage shows this individual, like we said, approaching the door towards the camera, turn, grab some greenery, and put it on the camera. And there's a lot more in there, too. But Robin, just out of the gate, what was your reactions to this footage?
A chuckle.
Yeah.
So the first thing that struck me was I was surprised at how fluid and easily he did that action. So the first thing that really was striking to me was he's very fluid and practiced at doing dumb things.
Mm-hmm.
And because here you put on your thought experiment hat and your empathetic view of like, all right, here I am. I've done this, or I'm going to do this. And I say done this because I find his fluidity, which is tempo, which is congruence, which are all things I look at for body language and human behavior, is how comfortable is someone with the actions they're doing.
Okay.
And he looked very comfortable because there's no deviation from his norm baseline of how he's walking, how his gait, his movements are very fluid. In other words, no pause, no hesitation, no thinking, no stress moment. In other words, when someone is typically faced with a moment, a decision or stress, we hit a pacifying, maybe a neck rub, maybe a pause in tempo to think things out. But there was no thought process. This was kind of fluid. So he was ready for it. And here's his solution. grab weeds and put it over to camera. Now, let's look at also the reason for this. So he covers himself up because I was very quickly also he did a good job, I thought, of full body coverage with the exceptions of eyes and mouth. You know, mm-hmm. we often don't see this in these types of cases we've covered, where a lot of times it's baggy clothes, street clothes, just something that the idiot grabbed before they did something. But he's got tight fitting clothes, or form fitting, I should say, very well covered up, hands, mouth, everything. And so that was well done, fluid motion. And so it looked practiced to me. But again, when you're putting yourself in that moment, what was he trying to do? He's covered himself up. So it's not like he's trying to permanently obscure himself with the camera because he's covered that. In other words, plan A was to obscure yourself from law enforcement or anyone on the street or something. So really the camera, what happens when you first go up to a Ring camera or a Nest camera, whatever it is, it goes off. And so most likely my thought process is, all right, because what do you do? I mean, everyone listen to the audience, because this is how we do thought experiments. When your Ring camera goes off in middle of night, what do you do? First thing you do, you pick up your phone, you pick up your iPad and say, who the hell's at my door?
Exactly.
And so that first movement he's doing should be to quickly obscure what's on that camera from Nancy inside. And instead of having a plan for that, which is, like you said, spray, or I would cover tape. Just bring some tape, cover it up, like put your thumb on it. You know, for the 2 seconds you're trying to break down that door, right? But his solution that he was very comfortable was to leave that space, continue to be in that camera shot, pick up some weeds on the side, and like as if he'd done it before, and try to, which isn't wasn't even be a full obscuration of what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm. No,
no sense. And so in this 3 seconds, I won't tell more because I know we'll cover another clip. In this 3 seconds, we learned everything we need to know, in my opinion. Again, limited data points. There could be more, but we saw his decision-making process. We saw his comfort with his decision-making process on full display, and we took off from there. That's what I saw in that first 3 seconds.
So you think this is a massive moron? I mean, just to sum up everything, and we can hit stop right now, you think this is a complete moron?
Yes, because who have we ever covered that isn't?
But he's a massive moron who, if, and we're going to get into further ends of this, if there's more than one person involved here, if acting alone has been able to evade the FBI and the full resources of the federal government of the United States for 11 days.
Yep.
That's not necessarily an idiot. I mean, an idiot in terms of not realizing there's a camera there, yes. But that's where I kind of get to, and we'll get to it in a moment, of I don't think that this guy is operating alone. I don't think he's the one that is being the success story. I'm not using that in terms of like truly successful, but he has been successful. Whoever this is has been successful in evading any sort of detection or capture or identification in all of this time. That's something. But if it's, am I to believe that this man who walked up to this porch, looked directly into a camera and then grabbed foliage is that man? I don't think so. I don't think he's smart enough based on that. I mean, you could walk up to that door. I would think if you're going to go up there, I don't know, bring a notepad, bring something. You could easily get up there and completely disguise your face until you know if that is a Ring doorbell or a regular doorbell. Yep. And once you realize it is a Ring doorbell, okay, then go get your foliage, keep yourself covered. You don't walk up to it like this.
Maybe.
And I don't know. I've never broken into someone's home. But this is the first thing that comes to my mind as a non-criminal and how I would handle the situation.
Well, and so, even I went trick-or-treating a couple years ago, and I'm not a teen, okay? But I'm small in stature, so I thought, well, I'm going to get away with it. And one of the very first homes that I walked up to had a Ring camera.
A lot
camera.
In that sentence right there.
I know. Don't analyze me, Robin. But here's the thing. As soon as I saw that camera, I went, oh God, you know, like I immediately did this and I covered my face because, you know, at the time I was in my 40s and I'm like, oh God, I'm asking for, you know, a Milky Way here. This is, I was embarrassed and I covered myself. This guy didn't even do that. And he was up to something nefarious.
Yeah. So here's some possible thought experiments to explain why you know, supposedly this guy seemingly has gotten away and not been found in 12 days.
Yeah.
So let's start with laws of probability. So the amount of unsolved crimes and homicides by similar means in the country daily is in the thousands.
Sure.
And so, and now let's also look at, I think, one of the glaring issues that has caused a distraction of and I'll call it a distraction of resources, when then someone that I personally do not think there's a connection between the ransom and this,
okay.
I think there's capitalization on this event to from the Nigerian prince to get money from.
Sure.
And so what happens is when you have limited resources coming in and now distracted with trying to hunt down the Bitcoin side of stuff, those resources that could have been spent looking in this area are now divided looking in other areas.
Yeah.
Because when did we start seeing rapid movement? When they finally took the resources to uncover the video that the sheriff said was never recoverable, and all of a sudden we're starting to see some rapid movement. Because had we been able to get this video, not saying they could have done it faster because it takes technical expertise and things like that, but when you start then going again door to door and also putting out messages, I think one of my messages that I'm trying to put out to people is how to profile the people that you've been encountering to match this, because we have a little bit of body language, a little bit of demeanor that is going to be more recognizable, even though you don't have facial, but you can kind of do some conjecture in there of, you know, there's, you know, maybe some sort of goatee or beard of some sort under there. You know, you can kind of see a little bit of the eyes, right? You definitely see body style. You definitely see size. You definitely see a little bit of walking movement. But then when you overlay it with this behavior, because remember in our base core behaviors, we can't mask who we are daily. In other words, the way he's behaving here is 99% most likely how he behaves every day. And so let's just take a quick look at what that behavior is. I am set in my ways. I'm going to do it my way. I think my way is the best way. And I make really dumb decisions when I come up with these ideas. Mm-hmm. So instead of thinking to yourself, who in my life looks like this and I think could get away with this, you're looking at the wrong people. You need to think about who in my life looks like this and is a schemer that things just constantly fall apart around.
Yeah.
That's who you look for.
Yeah. Let's talk about the ransom for a second. I want to talk about, because we just talked about it. How are they determining here where to put resources and what ones to take seriously? I mean, I'm not familiar, know, with how an invest, you know, because this sort of thing doesn't happen very often. I can't think of really any kidnapping cases like this.
No, because they're rare.
I don't know what the protocol is for something like this, but I would imagine when a high profile kidnapping case like this is taking place, there's a lot of ransom demands that are going to come out. We've heard of, I'm losing track, 3 to 4 of them now. There's another one that came out right before we went on the air that you give us a 1 Bitcoin, we're going to tell you more about who's doing this. That went to TMZ. They've all of them that we've heard about have come from media. So that would answer the question of why have we heard about them and why we've heard about 3 or 4 of them so far. I would imagine, maybe I'm wrong, but you can tell me this. Do you think there's other ransom demands that are coming in directly to the family, directly to the FBI that we're not hearing about? And how do you determine which roads you're going to go down and which ones you're going to put resources at when the reality is, yes, there are limited resources for an investigation and you got to choose where you're going to, you know, put the gas down and send those resources. And you don't want to be putting them at something that ends up being literally a completely separate case, which it feels like a lot of these ransom demands are going to end up being their own crimes and have absolutely nothing to do with the disappearance or, God forbid, the death of Nancy Guthrie.
Well, remember, they already arrested one person for it.
Yes, they have. Yeah.
So the rule of thumb is this. You cover every single lead that comes in. Every single lead. Remember, I talked with you all on the show a couple weeks ago.
Can they?
I was in New York during 9/11.
Yeah.
And I had lead number 2 on the bombing, what they thought at the time, of the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Lead number 2. And you know what lead number 2 was? Guy was on the West Side Highway, saw a plane fly into the buildings.
Okay.
I had to go interview him because it was called in on the tip line and I had to clear the lead. So every time, and that's why when you hear law enforcement say, we take every lead seriously, we take every tip seriously, and now I've heard they have over 10,000 leads in. Mm-hmm. That's also why Cash Patel and everyone is saying, you know, all the resources of FBI are there because they have to cover 10,000 leads.
Yeah.
And
how do you do that?
Yeah.
One bite of the elephant at a time.
Which when someone is missing and they might be dying as we speak, time is of the essence.
What you try to do is you try to triage the ones that you think have a greater probability of being flushed out, but you still have to flush them all out because sometimes the most obscure ones, a lot of times the most obscure ones that come in from left field, you'd never thought in a million years would go anywhere. That's why you don't know. And that's why they prosecute to the full extent of the law these fraudulent ransom things coming in, because look at the resources it takes and distracts from. You know, our digital forensics that we do, that's a very costly and highly trained resource we have. And instead of taking that digital, I don't know how they're divided up or anything, our ERT evidence response teams and our lab at the FBI Academy, they are the best in the world at what they do, but there's not that many of them. Mm-hmm. And so instead of doing things, again, I don't know how they're compartmentalized, but so just as an example of resources, they're spending time figuring out this Bitcoin thing instead of taking time to do something else.
Yeah.
And so it's a distraction. And literally, did that guy on the front porch look like he's a Bitcoin connoisseur?
Not really.
No.
But you still have to flush it out. And so that's why it's chaos. And also, and we've covered this before too, if money was the objective in all these other real ransom cases, that's why you're seeing right now, this is why the perpetrator keeps it low key, personal, to the family, make it easy to pay, sign of life. Because everything else distracts from the real person that's trying to get money. Think about this. So here's this. So say this was a real ransom case.
Yeah.
The real ransomer is now competing with all these other guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have put it out on the press, because as soon as you put it out on the press, everyone else is like, oh, everyone else from Nigeria is not casting shade on Nigeria, but you know, we get all those spam.
Yeah.
Things, right.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming in. They want their cut. And right now, today, we got someone coming in for their cut. I know who did it. Just stop with the noise, focus in on a home invasion that went sideways. Panic escalation, and she's gone.
So I guess
if I'm sorry, Tony, if this ransom thing hadn't started and this was been treated as a missing person potential homicide, things would look much differently right now.
So if this is an idiot who did this, where is Nancy? If this was something gone wrong and she died in the process or they accidentally killed her, where did they put her? Where is she?
So the law of averages, I hate keep saying it, but I always start with what is the probable, and then we flush it out.
Yeah.
The probable things that happen and have happened in the past is a home invasion gets the chaotic escalation, things go sideways, unexpected things happen medically to her. And instead of leaving evidence, bodies and DNA behind, you take her with you.
I want to talk about this because this Florida Paris just made a comment, and it's exactly what I was thinking here too. Home invasion with a full backpack and stays for 45 minutes. What is it here? I want to just give some observations here on the porch and the guy, and then what happens next. This looked like someone who was going in. Why would you have a full backpack full of shit if you're there to steal things? I think that felt a little weird.
Yep.
He seemed over-prepared, like over-the-top prepared. The gloves that he was wearing, I was calling them like moon gloves. And I say like moon boots, like, you know, like the big ones you wear in the winter when you're a kid and you're going to go play out in the snow. It reminded me of just how kind of poofy, like they're practical for keeping you warm. They're not practical for usage. If you can maybe hold a ski pole with it on a good day.
Definitely other than that, firearm.
It's not a, or you couldn't even get a gun out. I think you could probably even get his finger in the trigger with that.
Yep.
And what I noticed about them, and this is just my observation, this is not anything that has come out. What my takeaway, when I looked at it really closely, it looks like it was a big winter glove covered by a latex glove. So it was like glove in a glove. So that I found to be rather interesting. We're double gloving it here with impractical gloves for said B&E or kidnapping or murder. None of that made any sense to me. And as much as I want to think that maybe this is a B&E gone horribly wrong, he doesn't seem prepared for it, but that could just speak to idiocy. But the thing is, okay, so he gets in there. He seems really prepared for something, and the end result is Nancy is gone. That kind of tells me this is some sort of targeted reason he's going there to take or kill Nancy Guthrie. And we don't really know why. Why would someone want to go kill or take Nancy Guthrie? Like, yeah, there doesn't seem to be a lot of reasoning there that adds up. That's what's hanging me up here, Robin.
So I agree. I mean, the backpack really threw me too. I did even deeper research on number of people involved in types of crimes like this. If it's a home invasion gone sideways with panic escalation, which is still my working theory, I'm leaning 60% to that still right now.
Yeah.
Always open to new data coming in. And this backpack was a new data coming in because the backpack leans 60% with abduction because of the full backpack. Mm-hmm. Unless... you know, so I'm overlaying two things here. I'm overlaying the time spent in a house, and I'm overlaying that she's gone, and I'm overlaying the size of that backpack, which to me, a possibility conjecture is that it was like you said, you use that word targeted, is a targeted home invasion robbery for a very specific thing or things that didn't take up much space, might have required getting into something safe. I don't know. Reason why for time in house. Couldn't find what they thought or was told was in that house. And so you spend time searching for things. Here's another remote possibility that I thought of. Again, we're all in the world of conjecture because we don't know what happened in the house. But so let's think about Nancy herself and the things we heard about her. We've heard that she's a very kindly woman, very generous, just a good human being, right? So suppose that part of this event that happened in her house, that she does awake because, you know, this moron is going around in the house rummaging for the one thing he's looked for. In other words, why was nothing taken in the house when he left? Might not have found what he's actually there to get.
Okay.
And also, what do you think? And again, I don't know. The family would know more than me. Yeah. If you had some lost soul that thought their only way in the world was to come in and steal from you, shows up in your house in the middle of the night and he doesn't present a threatening necessarily image to her, and she felt her best course of action was to talk to him.
Oh.
It does make you wonder what happened on that camera immediately after. I mean, my first thought when he picked those flowers or whatever that was, I'm like, is he ringing the bell and is he standing there with flowers? Like, hi, you know, I mean, that'd be a weird thing to see in the middle of the night. I don't know that I'd answer my door. We don't know that she answered the door either because the camera goes out, but it certainly raises a lot of questions. Let's go into another area of this. The operation that took Nancy Guthrie selecting a specific 84-year-old target living alone in a remote dark sky community with no streetlights. It's required knowing she'd be home. It's required disabling cameras and physically removing the doorbell camera from the house. Maybe it isn't too. Maybe Nancy being there is a surprise for someone who wasn't planning. I don't know. All options are on the table. It required getting a woman who can't walk 50 yards unassisted off the property without a single neighbor seeing or hearing anything. Then the FBI released the footage of the man on the porch. He's improvising with a plant from the garden because nobody told him about the camera. Again, it feels like we have two different levels of knowledge here inside of one operation. At least that's my take. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, with us. Robin, what are the odds in your mind that this is more than a one-person operation, that the person who's on this porch may not be the mastermind, but just one of the players in something bigger?
I've looked at that. Can you imagine? This is what I do. I love looking things up.
That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah. It's about 50-50. Whether it's a home invasion or a targeted abduction, it rings between only 1 to 3 people tops that are involved in some way. And the averages only sway back and forth between the 40s and 60 percentages on any given day. But when it comes to on site there, I will tell you, just from watching him and on the porch, the likelihood of someone else being on site is extremely low, because when faced with a challenge, when faced with information data coming in, our typical response before we take action is to regard the other individual present, whether they're actually in the screenshot or not. Knowing someone's there, they're going to we typically pause to see, what will my partner think? What will the other person think? I need to confer. And so there's no hesitation. So part of that fluidity I was seeing was no hesitation. So regardless, I definitely think, from the limited data point we have, that this is the only person on scene. But being directed as part of a larger network is definitely a possibility because of what the stats say. But that's also why I think Guthrie's have done a great job in the messaging and that they've put out, because they've appealed to the different types of people that might be remotely involved in this. And so think about this too. So say, again, my thought experiment has, so say there's 2 or 3 people involved, and we only have one person directly responsible on site for the removal of her alive or in other states, right? And then there's no gain monetarily from anything that happened, because nothing, as far as we know, was missing from the house, no Bitcoin exchange. Right. So now you have 2 other people that are under a lot of pressure psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is. And so the messaging that comes out, you have an empathetic message, you have a transactional message, and then you have an appeal message. When all 3 of those messages comes out, you have other people involved, the weight of that is going to start causing fissures and cracks that typically we've seen might cause a rift and someone to come forward saying, hey, I had nothing to do with her going, you know, I mean, think about it. If they were part of a conspiracy to commit a crime and to commit an abduction or a conspiracy for murder or something like that, and they cooperate, the likelihood is much lower of higher jail time. So see what I mean? So there's a higher probability of a crack coming in if more people were involved in this. Now, going to your petty crime, you know, like this guy just looks like a petty crime kind of guy, was grabbed off the street, came up with this as a last minute, or he's a transient worker, whatever it is. He's done this routinely. That is a solo act. And so it definitely, what I don't think, it's definitely not a team. I don't think it's a gang. I don't think it's an organization behind this. Again, there's always outliers. We don't have data without having data points that are outliers that cause those things. But nothing to this point that I'm seeing says that is where I'm seeing it. But we could still learn more.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I'm trying to wrap my mind around here is what is the motivation here? I know, I mean, the easy thing everybody just throws out there without any sort of evidence whatsoever, other than we've seen it in other cases, is insurance or her inheritance or this or that. I mean, we don't even, that can be a motivating factor, but it's not always the motivating factor in some reason like this, or in a case like this where you have an older person. And then that would also then somehow swing back to the family if that's where this were to go. And we have no real reason to believe that that is where this is going. So what is the motivating factor here? I mean, that's what gets me. If this guy is so clueless going in that he has to grab shrubbery to cover the camera, this doesn't strike me as someone who really thought long and hard about this. This seems like he was given a job for some reason. He has his own motivating factors to go and do this, whatever that may be. I don't know. Maybe it's, hey, you know, it's a hired hit. We've seen that many a times. We're going to give you X amount of money. We're going to do whatever for you. Go do this. You know, and he could be, you know, basically a lot of hired hits can be kind of a patsy in situations. They come out of the situation and then guess what? They don't survive either because they know too much of who hired them or what hired them. I guess I'm going back to that and I'm going, like, what would be the motivation? Why would someone hire this person to do this? And I'm not wanting to go down conspiracy routes and roads here, but I don't know. I mean, this is just really, really bizarre in terms of what the evidence is pointing at. And I don't know. It makes me wonder who may have a reason to go and cause this type of attention and harm or kidnap Savannah Guthrie's mom. It doesn't make sense to me. Unless you start going down the conspiracy roads, which I have in my mind. And to me, it's like, well, I don't know. I don't know. But I could certainly see a world where, depending where this lands, depending who is arrested for this, if someone's arrested for this, it could be weaponized very quickly for political gain. I don't know. I mean, and not necessarily that it, I'm not saying it's something that's done within the confines of one of the parties in our country either. I'm not saying it's Democrat, Republican, anything like that. I'm thinking more like foreign actor. Somebody who's like, hey, if we go and pay so-and-so over here, you want to go do a hit? You're not super experienced at this. You're fairly untrackable because they probably are undocumented. And then said horrible crime happens. And then the public is left going, oh my God, the person that did this, once they find out, is that. That's going to put a lot of sentiment in one direction. And you know what I'm talking about. And it would be in the interest of a foreign party to sow more discord in our country. And this could do exactly that. This is not a political statement. It's an observation of what, I know it's quite an outlier, but I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at everything here because nothing is making sense.
So I'll never say it's not beyond anyone to use instances like this for political gain. Whether internal or external state actors, absolutely, that's always part of it. When it comes to the probability of utilizing this as a state actor, foreign state actor, for sowing unrest and discourse, and really the main reason why, because again, I worked in a world of intelligence, counterintelligence, really the main reason why foreign actors do that is to sow distrust in our organizations, institutions. And typically, they're going to do it for the biggest and easiest bang for the buck. That's why you actually do have foreign actors that actually do fund protests around the country and are part of it and incite things. You know, so
in 5 seconds, I could pull this up and probably find 5 to 10 posts that are guaranteed from foreign actors trying to sow discord with posts.
And so this method would be a huge outlier from that, because again, I'm just going down the road and track record of things, and so this would be a huge outlier from that. So again, I'm just going down the laws of probability of this being that are exceptionally low. And here's why: it's easier to do it another way. I always go with that because remember, human beings are always going to act in their own best interests in terms of safety, security, prosperity, and success. The probability of using that for this for as a successful gamble. Very, very low.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously, you know that world a thousand times better than I do.
And there's one thing that you said that I want to pick up on, that you said he didn't give this a lot of thought. He did in his mind.
Okay.
Because he was very comfortable with, again, you got it. The hardest part of this is to, we want to place ourselves in those shoes and say, and that's why we have a hard time accepting what we see because it looks so dumb.
Yeah.
But in his mind, it's not.
But useful idiots are just that.
Yes.
They are comfortable in their idiocy. That's what makes them useful idiots.
And that's why when you're looking at your photo album and regarding the people that you've had coming out of your house, or the people you know, when you're doing your assessment of who this could be, think that, not some mastermind. I mean, as this thing's gone further and further, every time something breaks, the first thing I do is I look at the new data and sets of information to come in, and I test my theories against that to see if I'm shifting my ideas, reinforcing my ideas, or starting all new ideas because I was completely off and wrong. Mm-hmm. Everything I've been taking in still holds to what I'm believing this is. I was rattled a little bit and still am rattled. Open more towards other possibilities because of that backpack size. But the more I thought about it with these other potential possibilities, I'm like, his behavior still giving me the, you know, the unanticipated escalation and how to get rid of Nancy.
Do we think that this was targeted towards Savannah Guthrie, or do you think this was a rando?
I don't think it was targeted towards Savannah. I think what happened was they were able to recognize a very wealthy home.
Sure.
And they figured to make a good target because they've done it before. Okay. There's a big difference between experience and professional.
Yeah.
I think this person is experienced at theft. I don't think he's a professional, meaning he knows he's very good at what he's doing. He's probably gotten away with petty theft, doing it the way he's been doing it long enough that he kept repeating it and accidentally got away because he was targeting probably lesser homes. This might have been, you know, the biggest fish he's going for, and it went completely sideways because it's the biggest fish he went for, and actually he's got the more attention on this than he's ever given before. Remember, there are so many thefts, so many missing persons around this country. We're talking thousands upon thousands mm-hmm. a year. And he probably was one of these types of low-level petty thieves that has gotten away with it because hey, he covered up well. If this was a lower level, someone just had a TV, jewelry, bonds, or something stolen out of the house, and you saw something, a fleeting image that you wouldn't have gotten had we not had the engineering facility at the FBI Academy working on it, you know, he would have gotten away with it the way he destroyed the cameras, which he's probably done in the past. We wouldn't even be talking about it to the level we are now. So he probably mm-hmm. has reps and getting away with stealing lower level stuff, probably going for bigger heist. And lo and behold, he wound up hitting the house of Savannah Guthrie's mom. Bam.
Yeah.
Boy, is that unlucky.
That's the thing. I mean, it could be something as simple as that. When you have something that affects so many people, I think our natural inclination quite often is to expect it to be something of equal size and gusto, when sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's the actions of one moron or a few or whatever it may be. And the chaos that one person can cause, I think we're always kind of surprised by. We see it every day in our stories. But it's true. I mean, one person can cause ungodly amounts of chaos if they really put their minds to it.
And I want to interject, you know, one of our great listeners put on there, you know, he couldn't have come up with this plan on his own. Think about the plan. It sucked. It didn't work. So he could have come up with it on his own.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, we keep thinking it was a great plan or we think it was this man. No.
I know. She's still gone. We don't know who they are.
He hasn't been caught. Well,
remember, seems to have kind of worked.
I don't think that was the plan.
Yeah.
The plan was to get something and get out and get away with it. None of that worked.
But that's assuming that the plan was not to get her. That's assuming they were trying to get something else out of the house. That's assuming that it is.
So let's work it. If the plan was to get her, what's the reason to get her? To profit?
That we don't know.
Well, to profit from it monetarily. Well, and so if the plan was to get her to send some sort of message, where's the message?
I think that's coming. Wait for our feature presentation. I think we're still in the previews.
Maybe.
I hope I'm wrong.
So at this point, 12 days in, so I haven't looked this up. I'm just going to use some conjecture because now I'm going to look it up afterwards. I looked it up beforehand, actually. I don't remember the actual number on it. So if this was done for a political messaging in some way, you know, 12 days without a manifesto, no. It's way out on the outliers.
Because I
flushed that one out too. I go down all these different.
I think it's getting crazy. I don't know what this is. And I think it's because we're getting in an atmosphere right now where there's so much going on around us, that so many outliers and so many things that we've all said to ourselves, that's crazy, that's impossible, that would be a fever dream if this was real. We're finding out are actually quite real. and have been going on around us with a lot of very powerful people for a very long period of time and fairly open within those circles now that we're learning a lot more. So I think this leap to conspiracy level thinking or things that are like beyond, you know, just the regular circle of what the averages would tell us, I think people are going there going, well, Jesus, I mean, I thought all that was completely insane too, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that means that is what this is. I'm just saying the leap to get there ain't such a far leap anymore. It's not like just taking days. It's like it's taking a step that way where it used to be. Oh, that's this other side of the valley over there. I got to go over this whole, you know, chasm.
Put the tinfoil hat on.
Yeah, like now it's like, oh, it's right there. And so that's why I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I know I'm not the only one that's like, is this something far larger than what it, you know, what we are, the averages show us that it could likely be.
So let's take a look at, you use a great phrase, it's not a far leap to get there. So what makes things not a far leap to get
mentally
there?
I'm saying
right. Well, and here's why, because when media creates a lot of noise and a lot of information and we become with data overload and we start entertaining everything that comes in on that data flow, leaps are no longer leaps, they're steps.
Yeah,
that's why we do this all the time with every single case. When things get really complicated, it's not. We got to keep it simple. Go back to the very foundation of what logically is happening. And I see in the chat that they think they went there to target Nancy and to take her. Okay. I never discount anything. I'm just saying, what was the purpose? What was the reason? Mm-hmm. There'd have to be some sort of gain. There'd have to be some sort of mission. And that is not evident. And if when you don't have...
It's not yet.
Not yet, 12 days in, but if there was a reason for her being purposely abducted, so let's assume that one of the ransom notes is real. That was really poorly done because it's not working. Because the first thing, anyone that entertains the idea, anyone right now, Google it right now. Google, what's the first step you do when you want to successfully abduct someone for monetary gain?
Not Googling that. Not on my. Well,
yeah, you're going through a divorce right now. That might not be the best thing for your search history.
The first thing that'll pop up, well, I've done it for everyone. The first thing that pops up is you have to show sign of life because no one has ever paid. No one in the history of this has ever paid without sign of life. And what's the first thing they're not doing? Any attempt of sign of life or dialogue with family. Granted, now I originally thought, well, maybe they're being really super clever. They're not going to allow dialogue for protection. So where's the sign of life?
Yeah, I agree.
That's the one pivotal piece. That's here, isn't it?
What happens every time you go down one of these roads?
Yeah.
I keep entertaining them all, but all of a sudden you hit a roadblock that doesn't make sense.
And that's what I was just about to say. It's like we're going down each road and everyone's like, ah, shit, road's closed over here. They're not quite done with the construction. And it doesn't mean the construction's not going to be finished, though. And it's going to lead us to some place at some point in time. And I think that's what we're all waiting here for. We're all sitting at this like road construction and like, well, who's going to finish their lane first? 10 days in. Every person and institution with a public voice in the Nancy Guthrie case is communicating, and the contradictions between them are piling up. Guthrie family has released 4 escalating videos, the most recent directly addressing the alleged kidnapper. The FBI says there's no verified communication between a confirmed kidnapper and the family. The sheriff declared the doorbell footage was permanently unrecoverable. 10 days later, the FBI produces it with some sort of back-end data that it somehow got. There's a lot of questions, not a lot of answers. A lot of people's opinions are out there in this, and that is just what it is. At the end of the day, opinions don't necessarily help us find Nancy Guthrie, but it does help. I don't know if help is the right word, but it does frame this situation in everyone's mind in very unique ways. Savannah Guthrie and her siblings, they've released those public videos in response to the ransom notes that have been sent out, some not even really described as ransom notes, more so messaging. Let me ask you this, Robin, on their responses, and obviously all of those deadlines have passed. Who knows if another one pops up between now and then, or anybody seeing this. the responses that they were giving, was it given because the FBI or somebody really had something else on the back end that was pointing to those being very credible, that the family gave it that sort of weight? Or was it more so, we got nothing to lose? Why don't we do this? Because does it hurt anything if we put this out there? No.
No.
I don't know. So, I don't know the answer to that.
So typically the families will be the driving force on that. And they've said it, you know, the sheriff, when he keeps opening his mouth, you know,
when he's not at the game.
I know. So families are driving that. And again, my hypothesis and conjecture on this, they crafted those messages. They wanted to put them out because, hey, and I agree with it too, because you just don't know. It's an outlier of a possibility that they're real, but at the same time, you don't want to take that chance. And so good job of putting those out there, because it did bring the most important thing. Now, here's another critical reason why those messages were so good, and a good reason to put them out there, because they weren't just targeted at the potential kidnappers. They're targeted at the entire country and world we need help finding our mom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And each message was so well done, because typically what happens is that the family will put together very, very organically, sincerely, and truly from their heart of the things they want to say. And then they invite, it's not pressed upon them. They invite, because they're offered, hey, we have a resource if you want to kind of tweak this messaging. Here's some cause and effect that we've seen behaviorally that can actually target this a little bit better. Is that something you're comfortable with? And they and they probably invited them to do that. So each one of those messages, I think, served a very good purpose of what it was trying to do. And now what we don't know is, because it's one-way communication, and it's either one-way communication with the real person or with a bunch of frauds. I was 50-50 at the beginning on whether it was real kidnapping, because they're not doing it the way, if they're really focused on getting money in exchange for Nancy, they're going about it completely backwards, wrong. And as time passed more on this, I think it was completely fraud.
I want to get your take on this. Some reporting that has come out in the last 24 hours talks about the sheriff's department believing that the kidnappers, as basically still being phrased, are in the Tucson area. And the reasoning behind that, according to this reporting, it's not our reporting, it's somebody else's reporting. And I there's so many outlets, honest to God, I can't remember exactly who it is. Right. I don't want to miscredit or credit somebody for this. Somebody's saying this, trust me, I was just reading it. The reasoning behind that, they believe the person's in the area, is because they reached out to local television stations.
Good point.
No, that's not a good point.
Why? How so?
I could go to any, if you want to send a less, are you like only going to know if there's a local television station in the area if you are living in the area?
I suppose you could look it up.
Yeah, of course you can look it up. In 2 seconds, I can tell you every television station in any city on the planet that you could go to and send ransom notes to. It doesn't mean you're in the general area. But that's how it was explained. I'm asking you, Robin, I'm hoping to God there's more reasoning behind that thought process that's being expressed verbally to media, that this is the reason why they think the person's in the area, because they sent messages to local TV stations and through their websites.
Maybe. So what one reason why, okay, so let's put ourselves, if it's someone like we saw on the front porch that is doing this, their familiarity with the area, if they are local, they might have an affiliation with it. I think that's probably the only stretch you're making, unless for some reason they were able to backtrack where the messages are coming from, which we heard they didn't.
Or you get an IP, and I can look like I'm coming to you from Istanbul.
They said they mask their IPs.
Yeah, exactly. So, if you have a VPN, you're not going to know.
And why TMZ? I mean, just the choices of the media outlets they used for exposure were really strange to me as well. And that's why this is another just stupid thing to me.
Yeah.
So if you're going for a national audience and you want exposure, you'd pick, I would send one message to Fox and one to CNN. You know, that's going to be you're going to cover the entire country with those two stations for anyone to watch.
I mean, TMZ is a great choice. But I guess if you're sending ransom notes, how often is it that they're sent to media, not directly to the families?
Never.
Or some person of,
Never. Because remember, let's look at the intent. If the intent is to get money, you want a private dialogue where you can manipulate the family without anyone weighing in on this, because the way the families respond is, oh my God, my loved one's in danger, and there's going to be a time pressure. And time pressure and proof of life is going to inspire someone to pay. That's why these things work. That's why the first red flag from the very get-go is they didn't send the message to the family, and there's no proof of life. There hasn't been one case where this is the method.
No. At the end of the day, I mean, my guts, I mean, who knows, but the fact that they're, what's disturbing me about this being a story in the last 24 hours is the fact that there still seems to be a lot hanging on the idea that these messages have anything to do with Nancy Guthrie and her existence, that this is even being, and again, this could be behind the scenes, they're saying this because they're wanting attention to go over here from the public, and because that's going to open up the gates over here for us to do more work, and people aren't going to, we're not going to be disturbed while we're trying to work over here diligently to find Nancy. I don't know. That's the, we hope something competent is going on behind the curtain outlook on it. When in reality, you look at the track record of the Sheriff's Department, it's anything but. Let's talk about who's leading this and where the calls are coming from, because the reporting that I saw on this was claiming this was the Sheriff's Department saying it, a source from behind the scenes. And again, it's not my reporting. You got the FBI certainly involved. You have more resources involved beyond the Sheriff's Department. Thank God. So who's making the calls here? Like last night when they arrested, or they didn't arrest somebody, when they had a person of interest for questioning, which turned out to be absolutely nothing. Yeah. But they got the, you know, the hostage negotiation crews ready and everything, which good. I mean, be ready just in case. Turns out it was a nothing burger. But who's making these calls? Is this a conjunction thing? Is the Sheriff's Department making any calls in this shit show anymore? Or is it 100% FBI and the Sheriff's Department's along for the ride? Or some sort of combination of.
Here's who it should be if things are going normal. There will be one lead investigator, and that's a single point of contact, single point of success or failure. So, think of a wagon wheel. Mm-hmm. Center of the wagon wheel is the lead investigator. This is the main person making all the, and it's not the sheriff. You know, now, granted, the sheriff could usurp it. Anyone can try to usurp it. Depends on the strength and experience of the lead investigator, which I don't know who that is. Good, because they're too busy working to be mouthpiecing all off the place. And so you have the lead investigator, and then you have all the spokes coming off of them. And you have FBI, you have forensics, you have state, you have everyone off this. And so everything should be flown into that one lead investigator at the central hub that's trying to keep all this organized in their mind. They probably have co-case agents or co-investigators that are helping them with, and that have been delegated certain areas and responsibilities. But everything that goes in comes to that lead investigator for doing X, Y, and Z. Most likely, hopefully, a very experienced person with a lot of tenure that might not have experience doing this particular thing because this is not that common, but they have a lot of good experience managing large teams of people and resources coming in and knowing how to triage and prioritize what's coming in and flush things out and keeping themselves out of the media so they can do the righteous work that they're doing. When we see movement, when we see data, when we see things happening, it's not because the mouthpiece is doing it. It's because the workers on the ground are doing it. I see a decent amount of organization. Now, like I know they're making a big deal of the hostage rescue team being there. They were on their way back from another part in the country. And when I was in the FBI, typically I was in under Louis Free, Mueller, Comey, and Ray before I retired. And especially under Mueller, we would always, anytime something happened in New York City or anywhere in the world, 9/11. I remember when the anthrax scare first happened in New York City after 9/11. Mm-hmm. We literally were told we have to be on site. We were sent out to show up in our suits to be on site. When ABC, I think it was ABC that actually had the anthrax scare, We were sent there just to show an FBI presence. We were doing nothing. I showed up in my suit to stand around ABC where it was supposedly anthrax. NYPD showed up in their Tyvek suits and the respirator gear, and they're there handling it right next to me. And I'm like, wow.
That's not nerve-wracking at all now, is it?
So a lot of times they throw people at things to show presence. The FBI's involved, blah, you know, but meanwhile,
didn't we have an anthrax suit in our mailroom, Stacey?
I think you're right. We did. We absolutely did.
I think every media entity in the country did at that moment, which I don't know what one anthrax suit does for a building of like 50 people, but it made you feel good.
You know what they did? You know, funny side story. Sorry. You know, they actually shut down the entire courthouse in New York City, Southern District of New York one day because there was white powder in the women's bathroom on the toilet seat. They thought
talcum powder, baby powder, for God's sake. And then we all get cancer from it. You know, remember the lawsuits after that?
And they sent us in our suits to collect the sample that they thought was anthrax.
You see, it's funny. You go to talcum powder, I'm like, oh, somebody's doing a line of coke off the toilet.
No. All the women in our chat, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Sorry for the side note and going down the rabbit hole, but that's so when you're seeing a large presence here, there's sometimes part of that presence is just for presence.
Yeah. And that's the optics of this. There's all of that's at play. And especially because they're trying to consider as well, are they not? They're still, I'm assuming, probably trying to operate if somebody does have her and she is alive.
You want to be responsive.
What's going to make them respond? What's going to do something for that? And the answer to that equation is not necessarily the same thing that's going to make you or me or anybody watching this shit show respond the same way. It's going to be a very different carrot that's being hung out there on a stick of what they're going to respond to. But it's their job to try and figure out what that is going to be. And with what if we literally have no communication here. Let's just for a second take a look at everything that's happened and we take everything, all the noise out of this. Let's pretend there has been zero ransom notes. There's been none of that. Just she's missing. Mm-hmm. And it's been silenced now for 12 days because the reality of this case is that's what's happened. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of noise. And if none of that means anything, that is exactly where we are sitting in reality. This has all been noise that's been sprinkled in and people saying her name. It doesn't mean it's actually part of the case itself. Mm. We're 11, 12 days into a woman who was abducted from her home and there's zero signs of life and nobody's calling and actually saying, here's how you get her back or give us money.
Right. So if you boil it down to all that, what you have is a missing person with blood on the front step, and remove the ransom note side and all the extra noise. You have a potential homicide with a home invasion is what they're trying to research and figure out what happened.
Yeah. Which may be exactly what it is. There's so many questions and not a lot of answers. And this is why everyone tries to fill in the blanks. And we're in a very volatile moment where those blanks are being filled in with a lot of stuff. I'm not saying it's wrong, not saying it's right. I'm saying we don't know. And that's what's the most important thing is taking a breath, but being vigilant and being aware of what we're seeing and what's being said to us as this continues along. Robin Drink, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. It's Not All About Me is your new book. It is out. And you have the giant sign available. We've been trying to do this for weeks now, and I keep forgetting that you have the giant version.
Yeah,
there we go.
Up.
There we go. He's got a giant framed version of it.
Okay, from my publisher.
Reminds me of kindergarten and like the Dick and Jane books. You know, it's like see spot run. You
know? Seriously though, Robin, what are you going to do with that? Like 6 months from now, where is that going to be? Is that going to be in the hallway somewhere? Does it go in the bedroom? Do you stick it in a closet? What do you do with that?
So a fun fact in my house, because of what, in order to make it not all about me, it's literally been my mantra to do what we do, to be able to focus and understand and assess others. You have to let go of self. In order to do that, you have to be able to put your ego in a box. And so literally, the only thing I actually still possess of a trophy of any accolade from my bureau career is right there. My retirement creds right there. Everything else I took a photo of and I threw out.
Wow.
I have nothing.
That's you need to write that book, like how to declutter your life.
Because who are you keeping it for?
It's true. What matters is what's in here.
Yeah.
His other book, Sizing People Up. He has several, but Sizing People Up, another good one, fairly applicable to this sort of a situation. Mm-hmm. And behavioral analysis of people. Worth checking out, everybody. Please do check that out. All right, your thoughts. We'll continue this conversation in the comment section. There's no right or wrong to any of this. We are all, as a community, just kind of trying to speculate and figure out where this is all going. Your thoughts in the comment section. Go do that on YouTube or on Substack, hiddenkillers.substack.com or hiddenkillerspod to get in on that and give us your opinion. All right, until next time, for Stacy, for Robin, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Seacrest here. So every great barbecue takes a little patience. And while the food does its thing, you can enjoy a little Chumba Casino. The perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.